Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty Show and T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T. And listen, folks, he kicked it off yesterday. Old Moneybags, 5-0, baby. 5-0, baby. There it is. He got off to a great start, 100%, trying to stay in the green.
Oh, King Ding-a-ling in there.
Yeah,
that's him.
There it is. Big week for him, and that's how you start this thing off. So hopefully he can keep winning him some money and you jumping on board and winning some money. I know Clint didn't jump in last night, but he is won a little cash with Tyler.
And don't call me Moneybags Milner for nothing.
Yeah, man, I should
have. First time I've heard it in COVID.
I thought about jumping on that Pena bet. Sure enough, he had three hits. Should have known.
Scared money don't make man. Money.
That was
boys.
The one. That's the one I remember staring at you like.
I know.
Because you're the one
you
who said
something.
I did. Well, because you said, "Man, this Pena thing. We better start looking at this Pena situation as an every nighter."
Yeah, gotta believe in the power of the Pena.
The panty dropper.
Well, he's on a roll, isn't he?
That's what I was hoping he'd say, the power of the panty dropper.
Power of the Pena.
Yeah. Well, tonight, the Astros look to go ahead and take care of this series and win game two tonight as they are in George Steinbrenner Stadium again in Tampa. And by the way, I honest to God, I hope that this goes well for Brandon Walter and the rest of his career goes well, Clint. Because, so tonight, Brandon Walter is making his major league debut.
Let's go, Walt!
But he's making his major league debut in these minor league ballparks. I'm going to push past Walt. He's making his major league debut in this minor league ballpark that he generally plays in. Like a minor league park. Not even a spring training park. Not even a real Major League Baseball Stadium is he making
ever
his,
in this home.
I'm just saying, could you imagine, Clint, if this goes like Blair Hendley and his debut is made at this spring training facility that holds 9,000 and they say, did you ever make it to the show? Yeah. I made it to George Steinbrenner Stadium.
The dimensions were just a little small.
In Tampa. And it was halfway looking like Yankees ballpark and halfway like Tampa. I just hope this goes well because it sucks to me. Like, God, man, you want to be.
Get your shot and that's where it's at.
Yes, you want to be at Daikin. You want to be at Yankee Stadium. You want to be at Fenway somewhere. Not Clearwater. I've been thinking about that all day since I saw BW was going to get to start tonight. I've been thinking about that all day. All damn day. But hopefully we'll see how this goes, Clint. This is a lot of young dudes making their debuts that they have had to do.
Well, this is number six in the last 2 years, right? The last time I reported it was five in 2 years. This is six. Yeah,
he's a lefty. Anybody got? I have to get it. Let me get a look on.
Got to grow up fast, old Walt.
On Brandon Walter. Brandon Walter.
But he has a lot of leather bound books.
It's always something about those gentlemen who have those two first names. Oh God, he's a ginger, Clint. I mean,
Ginger Nation, hard, tight Ginger Clint.
He's going to be fine.
Oh, he is a...
Boy, that is... That almost
he
looks
is,
fake.
Look at him. Look at the beard. He's got the beard problem.
That almost looks fake over there. Wow.
And he has a soul.
Look at the beard problem.
He'll be fine.
He's going to be fine.
He'll be fine. Tyler, I don't,
you want to put money on
it strikeouts
now, huh?
are, take the over.
Stop.
Clint. I'm already on it if you want to tell.
Tyler, Clint, stop. Don't just do that.
I really like it at a certain number with these guys that make their debut because you're playing the element of surprise. The lack of tape, the whole.
You played that last week when we were at the game,
and
too.
It didn't work, so that means it's going to work tonight. This number's lower, too.
I did not think Brandon Walter was going to give us a full, I mean.
He'll get us 4Ks.
Like Bobby Slowick. I mean, this is a full.
He's wearing a big hat?
Red. No, just got that hair, man. Wow. All right, the lineup tonight, Clint. Jeremy Pena continues to lead off, see if he can stay hot. Paredes behind him. Altuve and Walker, they remain in the 3 and 4 spots as they're struggling. Victor Caratini is the starter at catcher tonight. There is no Yiner Diaz. He completely gets the night off. And then Jake Myers in center field. DeZenzo. ZD. D's nuts.
D's nuts.
Gets the start, and he is the designated hitter tonight.
Got him.
Cam Smith in right field, and how about it? Chaz McCormick back-to-back starts. How about it?
Back-to-back starts.
Come at me about white boy Chaz.
I thought maybe he might not see the field after he got picked off for about a week. But good for him. He got him a hit. No! Tyler, you cannot.
Did I read it right that he got picked off twice?
Yeah, he did. I thought when he got picked off, we met twice, man. We may not see him. We may not see. You can't just go rogue like that. We
I
may
was
not.
Feeling it. I was feeling it.
That song
good.
Has no business on this show until Chaz does something.
Man, you are a damn buzzkill.
Now, he did get a hit, and maybe they feel good about it. Did not help that he got on base twice, and then one with the hit, and then he got picked off twice.
Yeah, he really can't be doing that.
But come you ain't on, lying, Chaz. Clint. Chaz cannot afford to get picked off once. Chaz can't afford to have a pickoff come to the replay and he be right, let alone twice.
I told my roommate in college, Ron, I think I told you this before. He's a white guy and he was a receiver. I said the one thing the white guy that's a receiver can't do is drop balls. You can't afford it.
Stop it! Or miss free throw.
That too.
All right.
In this case, if you're Chaz McCormick, the one thing you can't do is get picked off.
That's what the
Chaz, twice. Like, Chaz just cannot afford.
Where are you going?
Can't afford it.
I heard before the game he was working with Jose Altuve a little bit on the pads.
He just can't afford it, man.
Come on, man.
That was unnecessary.
What do you think he was thinking when he walked back to the dugout both times? Oh, hell, man, I might get DFA'd.
Don't make eye contact.
Yes. Southwest flight. Look down.
He may have stared Joe right in his eyes.
But he may have not looked at
Dana.
The question is, what did Joe say?
Is Dana here in Clearwater?
Keep your head up, big fella. Hey,
good job, man.
Should have met his ass at the baseline.
So I'm trying to do the best I can.
I think Jeff Bagwell almost came down there and met him.
What the hell are you doing?
Twice?
Bagwell looks like. I mean,
hey,
I
one,
know everybody gets
one
their opinion
game.
Of Bagwell. Bagwell looks like he could really cuss out some little leaguers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean. He looks like he'd be harsh.
Bags
still wears big baggy shorts.
I can imagine.
Long big baggy
shorts. Because Nicholas's little league coach.
Uh-huh.
Courtney, my daughter. Lauren, her softball coach. Man, my man. Wade walked out there. Two batters in. Called timeout and had the entire field meet him at the mound. Outfielders included.
Well, he should.
And he was on a knee. I don't know what Wade was saying in there, but it was two batters in. You would just say Bagwell walk out there with that number 5 jersey.
Big baggy cargo shorts.
With those glasses.
No question. With Oakleys. Now, Oakleys are cool again.
And a lemon lime Gatorade.
Oh, no, there ain't no doubt.
Come on, guys.
I checked that. A Diet Coke. No, what in the hell? What is going on? Like, what is the age that you feel comfortable using? Maybe not cussing out little leaguers, but what's the age where you feel like sliding in a damn or an ass?
Oh, it's right up. I get there with an 11, 12-year-old.
We were talking Baytown East Little League earlier.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
First time I had a coach like that was like Little League, and it wasn't just damn. Shout out, Coach Randy Hoffmeister.
I wouldn't do it like if it was in a like. Well, I guess I have done it in a camp, but like if it's somebody that I know, like a kids I'm working with over. Oh, there ain't no doubt. It'd be regular.
When I was coaching the O&D line over there with the South Side,
you got comfortable, didn't you?
Sit your ass. You got to sit your ass down.
Hold on,
sit your ass down in the stance. I did.
Is that my boy wrong?
But I did take the lead. I let a couple other people let him go first, and then I just let it. Yeah, they were 10. All right, that's the lineup. See if the Astros can get another dub and take home this series.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint. NBA playoffs get started tonight. I don't know if this is the most popular four, but it does feel like these will be entertaining series, right? Tonight, the West gets started with OKC and Minnesota. And then tomorrow we'll see the Knicks as they host the Pacers to start the Eastern Conference Final. But the West tonight is Anthony Edwards going to OKC, and they will take on SGA. I would imagine that MVP award is going to come maybe tonight or tomorrow to him at OKC in games one or two. But this to me feels like an interesting series because – SGA has been the best player this season, but I think I would still roll with Anthony Edwards late. There's something about Anthony Edwards to me that I feel a little bit more confidence with him. In Minnesota, they were here last year in the Western Conference Finals, and this should be an exciting series. Just interesting matchups with Rudy out there, and then the bigs with OKC and Chet. And then, like we said, SGA versus Edwards. This should be a really fun series. I wonder how many people will be into it because of it's OKC and Minnesota. Neither one of these teams are normally around this late. But I do think there is enough star power with Edwards and SGA.
Yeah, I do too. Look, I think I'm much more into OKC right now after the way in which they beat Denver. Well, look, I thought, I'll be honest with you again. Like, I thought two good teams, but you got one that's battle-tested with a obviously an MVP, which I know Oklahoma City has theirs, but just a championship caliber guys, blah, blah, blah. Even though he fired their coach, okay, I'm thinking, this OKC thing, man, wheels going to come off on this. And they held it together, man. And when it mattered the most, they lit their ass up. And so I'm more into OKC right now than I thought I would be.
Yeah, I mean, they've been...
You said the same thing for Minnesota, the way that they played in the series as well.
They've got two gentlemen sweeps the first two rounds, right? Yeah. They've probably rested over there. The guy, for me, the X factor in this series, like we could talk about a lot of different guys.
JR?
Julius Randle, man, has been...
Yeah. I'm with you.
I don't think the Knicks would have traded him if he'd have done this. if this is what he was going to do, like, at first it was like, all right, that Lakers series, all right, well, they've got really nobody that can handle him in there, and he can do things. But he has done – I even though Edwards is there and he is the driving force on that team, I think that Julius Randle's been the most consistent player for them. Right, there's a couple of clunkers in there for Edwards. Julius Randle has pretty much been within, hey, man, I'm double-double, 20-something points. He's picked it up in the fourth quarter a couple of times when Edwards has been down. But that is going to be the inter. Like, Hardenstein, I believe, is probably going to draw that assignment, him or Chet. How is that? Because he's, to me, the X factor for Minnesota, along with their outside shooting. Because OKC, what they have been all year, is the best defensive team in the game. So that'll be a fun one starting off tonight. I'm gonna go with the Timberwolves to get the upset tonight.
I'm not. I'm going OKC.
All right, I just changed my mind. As soon as I said it, I envisioned how many threes are they going to make. And then I thought to myself, oh, man, they're probably going to clank job about a bunch of these bad boys. Maybe game two. I just said in my head, I'm thinking, I feel like it might be one of them. They've had a little time off. It might be one of them bad Minnesota shoot nights. And they, Lord knows, they can get them. They can have them.
I got a Benjamin on -6.5.
And I just thought about that as soon as that came out. I looked at Anthony Edwards and I thought, no. Nas Reed, clank. White Dante, clank.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, we talked about this a bit earlier, but if you're just joining us, big news coming from the world of football. The NFL gives the okay for NFL players to play in flag football at the 2028 Olympics in L.A. And I guess my first thought to this is immediately you start to think about, oh, man, you start to think in your mind of the teams and the players, like what quarterbacks would you want or what receivers or who's gonna ball out in this thing. Are you so certain with how I understand the owners passed it, but how some of these teams, are you certain that we are going to immediately see the best players play in this?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I know I can fantasize about Lamar Jackson, but I feel like Ozzie Newsome, Art Modell may come out of the grave to get in front of him.
Well, I think there's several reasons. I think we are underestimating how difficult it is to play football, flag football, how different it is to play flag football. There's no doubt about it that the athlete is a different athlete, and some will excel. But I'm telling you, man, if this isn't something that the guys would take serious and spend, they borderline need to go to training camp.
Oh yeah, to play flag football.
Yes.
And timing.
It is. If you think you're going to walk out there and run go routes and run the route tree and flag football and win, you got another thing coming. If you think guys like even Josh Allen, one of the more athletic guys. If you think they're going to sit back there with smaller guys chasing them around, ripping that flag, if you think that's going to work, I think you're crazy. I mean, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, I mean, there's a couple of guys out there that I think would be really, really good. But if you're going to be more of a stationary quarterback in flag football, you better have guys out there that are playing flag football and know exactly what you're doing. It's going to be –
hey, Clint.
I can't wait to see it, man.
The Olympics are in July. That's training camp. We're gonna roll out and do that, and we're gonna have.
I gotta believe you do, man. I mean, if I'm Tyreek,
Mike and him gonna have Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek, yes. If I'm Tyreek, I ain't giving him a choice. If I've been by 2028, Tyreek will have 10 years in the league. If I'm an older player in the league,
He may not be one of the guys.
Yeah, especially with him. Look, he doesn't go to Miami. He's like, man, I done left Super Bowl champs and making runs Super Bowl. I need that gold.
Like Xavier Worthy,
gold
like,
medal.
Like players like that. You think like
you may not see the best, but I bet you see some guys like Tyreek that are up in age.
That's the quarterback stuff is for me. Is like you just about to like Lamar and Kyler. Like some of the other ones we named, they're gonna jump out of training camp.
That'd be a huge drive.
They're gonna hop up out of training camp.
I wonder how long it's gonna take.
Because one again, like you said, you got to train for this.
Yeah, you would think so.
Hawkins, they stopped the season. WNBA stops the season for them to play in this.
I wonder if the NFL pushes their season back a month.
Not a chance of it. They don't care about anybody. I'm pushing this back. Hell no. Pushing that thing back. But that's the thing. When you start seeing the timing of it, like I wonder how many of these guys are going to actually.
Well, that's fascinating. I didn't realize it was July. You start talking about the timeline, man.
Especially quarterbacks ain't coming out of about to just blow a week or two of training camp. Shoot. Joe Burrow's out here loving it. You know I ain't playing in it. You know, I'm about the ninth or tenth quarterback to get chosen to play in this thing.
I don't know. Burrow's got some. What's that? What's Ireland? He got some Ireland in him, doesn't he? He got as pale as he is. He got to have some Irish in him.
I don't know what he's got coming up. Was C.J. Stroud disrespected by Pro Football Focus? We'll discuss that on the other side.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, do you feel like your quarterback, C.J. Stroud, was disrespected? Pro Football Focus, and I'd say they are probably the most extensive when it comes to grading different positions and grading everything in the game, and in particular with quarterbacks as well. Every year, going into the season, they do their quarterback tiers. And they kind of give specifications on what this tier and what the player brings in this tier. And they've got tier 1, tier 2, tier 3A, and then tier 3B. And that's as far as we need to go. They have 6 tiers. The other tiers underneath tier 3B is tier 4, which is young quarterback still finding out who they are. Tier 5, like rookie quarterbacks finding who they are. Tier 5 is young quarterbacks that maybe one more year before they lose their jobs. And then tier 6 is starters who are able to be replaced. C.J. Stroud is obviously not in any of those tiers. But tier 1 was elite. That was Patrick Mahomes. That was Josh Allen. That was, and actually the technical ranking they had, it was Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, and the MVP fourth in Josh Allen. Yes. And then they had tier 2, which they had as high-end starters. And fifth in that group for tier 2 was, well, let me pull it up here. See who number 5 was. All right, number 5 in tier 2 was Jalen Hurts, who just came out the Super Bowl. Number 6, Jaden Daniels, Matt Stafford at 7, and then Justin Herbert 8 in that tier, tier 2. Then tier 3A was solid players who have flashed high-end play. Jared Goff at 9, Geno Smith at 10. I'd like to have a convo with that. Brock Purdy at 11, and then 3B, solid starters, but they need more help. Jordan Love at 12 of the Packers, Baker Mayfield at 13, and then that's when C.J. Stroud enters the conversation at 14. They said Stroud represents the cautionary tale for Jaden Daniels. A stellar rookie season followed by a sophomore slump. That said, he finished 2024 strong and delivered in the playoffs, leading the Texans to a wild card win over the Chargers. One glaring issue remains, his pressure to sack rate. After taking just 39 sacks as a rookie, that number ballooned to 63 in 2024, a problem that must be addressed moving forward. The others right behind him in that same 3B category tier, Kyler Murray of the Cardinals, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, and then Tua. When you look at that list, they've got him 14th overall, Clint, right behind Baker Mayfield, Jordan Love, and then they have him 3B and saying that he is a solid starter that needs more help. You feel that's about right for C.J. Stroud, or you think that's low for C.J.?
Well, I think the 13th overall is about right, or 14th, 13th, 14th, whatever it was overall. I can get with that middle-of-the-pack quarterback. I mean, look, there are some. I don't agree with the 3B. I would have him in there, just a 3A or 3 solid starter who's flashed high end play. I would personally have him there.
That's what it sounds like he is by his career.
Yeah, look, I think Dak Prescott is disrespected here. Dak Prescott should definitely be in the solid starter, flashes of high end play, if not above that. So, yeah, I mean, and there's some guys, but if you want to, like, really get off in the weeds about who's ranked where kind of deal, there's a deeper conversation to have there. But the thought that C.J. Stroud right now, after watching him play for 2 years, I think he's outside the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think he's got a lot to prove that he is more than just a solid starter. I think that's fair. I think C.J. Stroud right now, solid starter in this league that gives you a chance to win ball games. I believe that. So I think he's mistiered here. I think he should be 3, not 3B. But if we're just talking about the number ranking, what was it, 14?
14.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with C.J. Stroud being in that 14 range. Middle of the pack quarterback with a lot to prove, I think, is where C.J. Stroud is.
Yeah, Geno Smith is the only one that I look at and that's ahead of him, or I'm like, hold on. What are we doing here? And then I personally think if all of everything was equal, I think he would be a better quarterback than Brock Purdy, but I'm not going to lose my mind over it. Geno's the only one I look at, I'm like, hold on, man, I don't know about that. But other than that, I'm with you. He has shown not just flashes of high-end play. He had high-end play for damn near an entire rookie season. So that seems to fit right there. And then I think there is something. I do think he took a step back last year, but I do think there is something to say towards, hey, man, he was dealing with a ton of pressure that and injuries with some of his main weapons. And you give him a little bit more and that his performance was probably better than what it showed due to issues with the offensive line, pressure, issues with injuries to Tank Dell and to Stephon Diggs and to Nico Collins. And that's before you even get to, clearly, there was miscommunication issues going on in the building there. But outside of that, you know, he seems to fit more in the upper one. But I do think he is right around, like, I would say he's in the grouping of Jordan Love and Baker Mayfield. And that, to me, makes sense. Maybe 14, whatever. But I think he's in the grouping of the Jordan Love, Baker Mayfield.
I think that's fair. I think you look at some of the guys that are controversially maybe placed ahead of him, the Geno Smith you mentioned. Geno's got a lot bigger resume. He's played in the league a lot longer. He's a veteran. He's, you know, so, and I'm not justifying it. I'm just giving you that it seems like, you know, Jared Goff, it seems to be disrespected here. I look at, was my man out of LA Chargers.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert to be in the same tier with Matthew Stafford is disrespectful. Like Justin Herbert has been tremendously good in the regular season, but we've seen it multiple times now of him shrinking in the big moment. So, it's, you know, him to be on the same level with Matthew Stafford and, Jalen Hurts, that's disrespectful. So again, you know, I mean, I think we could go back and forth about these rankings, but bigger picture is C.J. Stroud a middle-of-the-pack quarterback right now, or are there people out there that still feel like C.J. Stroud is a top-10 quarterback in this league? I think he has the makings and the ability to be a top-10 quarterback in this league, but I think based off what we've seen the last 2 years and maybe even what we haven't seen, like me knowing now that we have not seen C.J. Stroud with complete command of an NFL offense at the line of scrimmage is something that we got to see. Like when you start talking about these greats up here, you start talking about the greats in the elite tier and even the second tier. Like, I mean, these are dudes that mentally take over games. Like these are guys that, as I've said before, said it many times last year, Ron, like at some point, C.J. Stroud, whoever the offensive coordinator is, C.J. Stroud's got to say, hey, man, I got this. Hey, man, I got this situation. Get out of my ear. I got it. Like at some point, that has to happen, and I don't think we've seen that yet with C.J. Stroud. So it's a small sample size. It is what it is. He's 2 years in the league. He's got a lot to prove.
Yeah, I think last year coming into the year, he was a tier two quarterback.
He's very much Jaden Daniels.
He was Jaden Daniels. Yep, he was Jaden Daniels. And this year there is some different thoughts right now. And 14 feels about right with what he put together from the text line. CJ is top 10. Last year he dealt with O-line wide receiver injuries, offensive coordinator issues, and still won a game in the playoffs. Yeah, he did. And with all of that, I think he played a role in some of that too. He's just not at the level that he was in year one. If you disagree with that, I mean, I'm sorry, that was just put out there. Text line, y'all some trolls. And I said, oh, well, how? Where do you see him? The response was, whatever show, shaking my head. I just gave you an opportunity to tell me where you see him. Where you at? What you doing? Whatever. Speak.
Yeah.
Text it in.
I would probably have him in the 11-12 range for me. It's probably where I'd have him. I would not have Geno Smith ahead of him, no doubt about it, obviously.
I wouldn't have Geno and Brock ahead of him. I would have Love and Baker ahead of him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, yeah. And that's, I mean, would, whether you, whether somebody agrees with it or not, I think it's a conversation. So, again, middle of the pack. I got him outside the top 10. I'd say middle of the pack quarterback is depending on the conversation we're having, probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. Now, he's got all to get back into the top 10. He has the absolute ability. We'll see if he pulls that off. All right, coming up, we'll make you some money. T-Mill's best bet, so hang in for that. And is this the night? Is this the night where we see our man turn the corner? We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I called him out on the air, so I want to be fair on it as well. As I said, my man just said, whatever, shaking my head. He said, so playoff wins mean nothing, clearly. You all just want a reaction. It's not just want a reaction. The thing is kicked off by Pro Football Focus and their tier ranking.
I would also add playoff wins don't mean anything.
Not that they don't mean anything.
We learned that from Herm Edwards.
Not that they don't mean anything, but nobody in their right mind has got, well, you might, has Burrow, who didn't make the playoffs last year. Nobody has him over Burrow.
You play to win the game.
You might. Nobody, I don't think, in their right mind would have him over Jared Goff right now. Right now, who did win the playoffs? This ain't us trying to get a... like, you think us saying, hey, man, first off, reading, Pro Football Focus has him as a third 3B tier player and 14th overall. And then us saying, yeah, man, see him in this range. We said, you said about 11 or 12. I said I would have him over Geno and Brock Purdy. You think that is us trying to get a reaction? What reaction? That's one of those I didn't think was going to be crazy. I mean, I know there's going to be a few of you all that were nuts out here. I think Patrick Creighton's probably backed off the he's better than Josh Allen thing. Ron Hewley. Kick rocks. No, but y'all chose to make a segment out of it. Yes. Yeah. It's kind of our job here to have interesting conversations, and especially about the number one athlete in the city. It's C.J. Stroud. And, hey, let's have a discussion about what it is that people around the league that grade this thing think of your quarterback.
Yeah.
I bet you if his ass like it was last, we did it last year when he was in the second tier.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you.
Idiot.
And when they pull out the Will Anderson is a top three or four rush in, we're going to do that too.
Hell yeah.
Out of here with that. I love you, Kick Rocks, but you the hell what's going on. Now, coming up, you got a chance to win a little cash.
I'll be honest. Not that you weren't. I'll be honest. When I saw it and they had him 14, I said, Texas Nation, this is going to stir these boys up. Kick Rock is going to piss him off.
Oh,
Larry mad at the Hornet right now. That's the job. I mean, I saw it. I big eyes at 14. Ooh.
Kick Rocks, we know what you're up to, Ron. Yeah, and we know what you're up to. Thinking everyone is out to get you. The mark of the Houston Texan fan. I don't mean to put all of you all in that boat. Just my experience here every day. Coming up, your chance to win a little cash here, hopefully with Tyler. As, hey, 5 for 5 yesterday. Be listening up. He'll try to make you some money on the best bets as well. Coming up, Frank Ross. He will be on right behind us. Some gentleman was texting in wondering, hey, what comes on behind us? Texans All Access every night. Mark Vanderveer, John Harris, Frank Ross, special teams coach, will be on. And our guy, Texans Insider, Jonathan Alexander, will stop by. Area 45, live and local. And the gang is back. Just talked to Sean Bajani. Patrick Creighton will be in, and Chris Santiago as well. The best damn late night sports talk show in all of Houston, and I'd imagine old Patrick Creighton's been off a little bit. He's got some takes that he wants to get off, I'm certain. So you might want to chime in
with Creighton tonight.
I bet you want to chime in and stay in for that. So that's coming up behind us. All right, is tonight the night, fellas. Just kind of looked it up. Christian Walker is beyond struggling. Christian Walker is 3 for his last 31. 3 for his last 31. Is this the night that he gets
it
going?
Wet.
It was, man. Is this the night that he gets it going? Because I'm telling you, man, I think there is a little pressing going on in here. And every time it feels like he's about to come out of it. Then he goes through one of these stretches and you look up like, What is his batting average? Does he have a chance to drop below the Mendoza line?
He's about 200 right now.
Is he
a little over 200? Barely over, just an inch over 200.
Just gonna say, is he got to be pushing that 200 mark?
I had it before he went over
4. Oh boy, he's at 202.
There you go.
Oh boy, we had the elements of him dropping below 200. Hopefully not, right? And as you said, you could see the really bad situation of Zach Zinso goes 3 for 4 tonight as the DH.
These nuts.
And maybe Christian has another struggle tonight, and then what happens?
Well, I got a nice little seg built for tomorrow or even Thursday, man. It's Christian Walker. You better get to swinging that bat a little better, Bob.
Yeah. Don't put this on Alex Cintron. Don't do that to him. Alex is over there sitting there like, damn, man, I could have hit that changeup.
We'll get all this little funk.
And I got to pay for this. Build that bat. Hey, by the way, we at least got to have a conversation about moving him down in the order, right? I feel like we've at least arrived there. Have we at least arrived? Oh, you still rolling him out in the fourth spot?
Everybody else move around, but not Christian.
I'm just saying. I know Yiner got a day off. If this is another struggle tonight, I mean, I know Yiner's.
Well, he's
got
to be on the verge of not just getting moved down, but getting some time over on the pine.
Well, we got to take some steps before we get there, right?
Yeah,
like, I think
absolutely.
We at least, like, I think if Yiner has the day off, he comes back. You know, there at least has to be the conversation of him, you know, going down maybe to sixth. At least six.
Yeah.
With, you know, Caratini's playing every day with.
I think it'd be fair.
Before he gets put down. But hey, he moves down the lineup. You know what that means then. Hopefully not that Florida league, but that's where it starts to roll in. So, Christian, this needs to be. This could be a turnaround night here. I mean, you're facing a pitcher that is got an ERA in the mid fours. This feels like a guy maybe you'd be able to make some hay with. So hopefully he is able to do that tonight. All right, let's make a little cash for the people. Tyler again yesterday, 5 for 5, 100%. So that means he's got room, Clint, and he made a little cash. Where are you sending the folks? Oh, God. Tyler.
Speaking of the man known by Christian Walker, we'll get to that. But if you haven't been paying attention, I've been putting money in people's pockets almost on the nightly, really, over the last three, four weeks. Especially with these baseball bets. So it ain't broke. We ain't fixing it. I got 5 more baseball bets for you tonight on a Tuesday after going 5 for 5 yesterday on Monday. First off, I got an over. Actually, I got 3 overs for you. And if you miss any of these, you can go to my Twitter, at TMILRealDeal. I post these bets there every day. First over for you, Rangers at the Yankees. Over 4.5 runs in the first 5 innings.
I feel good about that.
I like it a lot. We hit the under on a first 5 last night. Now let's hit the over. Guardians at Twins tonight. You don't see numbers this low very often. Some good arms in this game, but I got the Guardians at Twins over 7 at -120. Then I got the Mets at the Boston Red Sox over, once again, over 8.5 runs in that game. Got that one close to even money. And then 2 Astros bets for you for game 2 against the Rays tonight. First, I am on a prop that says the Astros will be the first to score a run in this game. Got it at -145. If you can get it around there, I think that's good value. And then the man we've been discussing, Christian Walker. the Jedi himself. He's breaking out of it. Over 1.5 total bases for Christian Walker tonight. Might even get himself a homer. Might get a couple of hits. But Christian Walker, over 1.5 total bases at plus money, plus 105. That is your last best bet of this glorious Tuesday. And you love, obviously, Ron. It feels like you hate that Christian Walker.
Well, I just can't put money on somebody who's 3 for their last 31. I understand, and not looking like they're coming out of it. I also want to make a note, Tyler.
That exit.
That Guardians Twins has been postponed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that game has been postponed. A lot of weather coming through the Midwest.
We'll roll with 4.
I think they were canceled yesterday, or they were postponed, or at least delayed yesterday as well. So that one's postponed. A note on that one.
Thank you. We'll go 4 for 4.
Listen, I like the Rangers one. I like the Mets and the Red Sox. You just take some. I just don't have I don't got it in me. Like, we got a guy who's never pitched before tonight for the Astros, and you got the Astros scored first.
I'm like on over 3.5 Ks for the young blood too.
Okay, all right.
But that isn't one of your best bets.
This guy brings it. All right, Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. I am Ron. The show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Now it's going to get from loud to an argument.
Well, I'm sorry. It was just like, he start bringing other things to the conversation.
My ears immediately perked. Like, again, John.
It's clearly, it ain't about no other stuff. It's clearly about someone getting behind ball carriers and pushing them forward.
I think you got a technique, though.
The Chiefs lost by 40. I'm a great debater.
That is awesome.
Shout out.
Now, Tyler Miller says he's still real optimistic